morning. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry this week, here with Celeste Headlee, of course. NATO allies have entered their fifth day of a major offensive in the Taliban-controlled city of Marja in southern Afghanistan. Reports from the field indicate that Operation Mushtarak is going according to plan for the most part. That's apart from the deaths a couple of days ago of 12 civilians as the U.S.-led NATO offensive got underway. There's a political cost now for almost every civilian death in Afghanistan, as thousands of Afghan civilian deaths have mounted over this 8.5-year war. Rod Norland of the New York Times, our partner, is in Kabul. We're going to be talking with him, and later we're going to be talking with retired Army Colonel Jack Jacobs to give us a sense of what U.S. troops and their commanders are facing in a difficult situation on the ground. But Rod, good morning.
Good morning.
Rod, as I mentioned, every civilian death now in the political calculus of the Afghan war, every civilian death comes with a political price to U.S. forces. What is the latest fallout now from the death of 12 civilians at the opening of this offensive?
Well, you know, it's striking. If you compare this incident to some much more horrific cases of civilian casualties in past years in Afghanistan, cases where as many as 100 people or more were killed at attending a funeral or a wedding. This happened several times, and every time the military spun it as best they could. They claimed there were insurgents. They denied it happened. They just did everything they could to obfuscate it. And in this case, you know, they took responsibility very quickly. And, you know, the Afghan government President Karzai has criticized the Americans over civilian casualties. But in this case, we had the Afghan government spinning it and trying to claim that three of the 12 people who were killed were Taliban insurgents,
And you also reported a bit of a spin, if you will, that Afghan officials were saying, well, even if 9 or 12 of our civilians were killed, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands will be freed. I mean, that's a spin if I ever heard one.
Yeah, that's right. And although, I mean, no, the survivors, when a bunch of soldiers come up and officials and everything after 12 people have been killed, are not in any position to give you their true feelings. And they're going to say what they want you to hear. They've just had a demonstration of what can happen to them. So I don't put much credence in that. But, you know, our reporter, Chris Chivers, was, as it happened, with the unit that was fighting in that immediate area. And they called in an artillery strike, a rocket strike, but not on that building. And he was there and you know, overheard their shock and dismay when they saw that the wrong building had been hit.
And those troops were using a rocket system that was supposed to be the alternative to unmanned drone attacks, which, while comparatively surgical when there's no human eyes on the ground, can lead to civilian casualties. The point was to avoid such an incident.
Right. Although this weapon system was probably 20 miles away, they had the power to call it in. They say they did not in this case, and it may have been somebody else on the battlefield, even someone looking through a drone. We don't know yet what happened, although they have ruled out any kind of mechanical fault in the HIMARS system. But the other striking thing that Chris Chivers saw and we reported on in our story today is the way, right down to the platoon level, the soldiers really have taken on board this message that, you know, civilian casualties are a dumb idea in this kind of war. And, you know, the battalion commander, one of the first things he did when he came in to this area that's still fairly hot was go and visit the household and the elders, and even arranged transport for those victims to a cemetery.
Rod Nordland of our partner, the New York Times, thanks. It's interesting the dynamic you talk about of how U.S. troops seem to have learned the lesson and learned it hard, that even one civilian casualty in Afghanistan is too many. And there are signs that Afghan civilians are cooperating in many places in Marja with U.S. troops, helping to point out enemy positions, helping to point out the position of improvised explosive devices. I want to bring in retired Army Colonel Jack Jacobs to give us a sense of what U.S. troops may be facing on the ground there as they interact with civilians and try to disarm IEDs and try to avoid civilian casualties. Colonel, good morning.
Good morning.
As U.S. troops advance, trying to disarm what are reported to be thousands of IEDs, what difference does it make to them to, at least according to many reports from our troops, having Afghan civilians pointing out any enemy positions or enemy weaponry when you're on the ground in the fight? What difference does this make?
Well, it makes all the difference in the world. Going blind into an area which you don't know about is very, very dangerous, particularly if it's filled with civilians whose casualties you're trying to minimize or eliminate, on the one hand. And on the other hand, getting cooperation from people on the ground who point out to you where the IEDs and booby traps are located. You know, we gave plenty of warning to the enemy on the ground that we were coming, and for good reason, too. We wanted them to get out of there if they possibly could and avoid a fight. Because in the end, what we want is them out of there. We don't necessarily want to have to fight them. And as a result of that, the enemy set up lots of booby traps and improvised explosive devices. And getting through the area successfully and securing it requires that the local population assist, and apparently that's what they're doing.
And do you think that U.S. commanders would have had a good sense before embarking on this strategy of announcing the offensive ahead of time, knowing there would be booby traps there? Did U.S. commanders probably have a good sense that they would get good cooperation from civilians? I ask it because if they were entering a hostile environment, this might have been a much different story.
Well, the attitude is that the area itself is not necessarily hostile. That is, the entire population isn't hostile, but that there's a certain element in there that needs to be eliminated from there. And when you start with that assumption, your modus operandi is very much different than the kinds of things we had done before. As you start off with the notion that the people there, by and large, want to be free of domination, want to take care of themselves, which they had done for centuries and centuries, don't want any outside interference. And the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, no different. They don't want those guys there either. When you start with that assumption, you treat the local population and the military operation very much different. You can see the result of that kind of attitude, which has been fostered by people like General Petraeus and General McChrystal and General Caldwell, all of whom have a great deal of experience having studied unconventional war and studied the difference between it and going around blowing everything up and yet, trying to sort it out afterwards.
And yet that strategy is all the more difficult with any civilian deaths. Retired Colonel Jack Jacobs, thanks for joining us to talk about conditions on the ground in Afghanistan. We also heard from Rod Nordland reporting from Kabul on civilian deaths among the Afghan populations in the Marja Offensive.